each stage of life a chance to grow. With faith and love, the blessings flow. Seasons of life, seasons of life.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, as-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Habiballah, as-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Noorallah. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome to a very beautiful and splendid episode on this new silsila, the Seasons of Life, in which we will be discussing matters pertaining to the different phases of life that you and I go through. Like, for example, our childhood, the ages of our teen years, our youth days, and also when a person goes into college, when a person gets married, when a person reaches old age. So inshallah, as we go along and journey along through this beautiful silsila, we are going to be mentioning and discovering many, many different aspects in relation to all of these and much more, inshallah. And this is so beneficial for you and I, because it will actually guide us that when we have children, how should we bring them up? What sort of tarbiyah should we give them? When one is in their teen years, in their youth, how should they be conducting themselves? When one is in the working place, how should they conduct themselves? When one is looking for a suitable partner, for a suitable spouse, you know, to get married, then how should one conduct themselves? When one is married, how to maintain that marriage? And all of these, dear views of Madani Channel, are the different phases of life that a person goes through. So we are going to be, as we're journeying along, as I've mentioned, we will be covering all of these aspects, inshallah. So do watch this from the start right up until the end, and also spread this as well, because it's something that's beneficial. And to spread something that's beneficial, it is a rewarding act. Yes, it is a social media era. It is an era of technology. Use it to good use. Don't abuse it. And subhanAllah, this is one way that you can use social media in a positive way, in a good way. So without wasting any time, right now, share this to your friends. Share this to your family members as well. And let us all get empowered by listening to the beautiful teachings of our deen. So for today, alhamdulillah, we do have a very beautiful topic of discussion. Something very, very important, something very crucial and imperative, and that is regarding piety in youth. Yes, we are going to be discussing this brilliant topic, and together with that, we are going to be mentioning from what age to what age is one considered a youngster, a youth? From what age to what age is one considered an old person? And we are going to be mentioning much, much more as we journey along through this episode, inshallah. But before that, dear viewers of Madani Channel, let us first mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned that the person who recites salawat upon me 10 times in the morning and 10 times in the evening, that person will find my shafa'ah, my intercession on the day of Qiyamah. So let us all collectively, with full of love, send salawat upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So yes, piety in youth is what we are going to be discussing today. The challenges that youth face, the energy that youth have, in which an old person does not have that kind of energy. And this is so important, because that is like a treasure. You know, it's golden. When you have something in your possession that's a treasure, what do you do with it? You would value that. You know, you wouldn't just use it anyhow. If you have gold, you're not going to just take it in the marketplace and say, okay, here's gold, and everyone will come and take your gold, and then you losing out at the end. You wouldn't do that. Likewise, your youth, the days of your youth, are even more important than that gold. It's even more important than that treasure. Because Even when you are old, you can still receive gold, you can still receive wealth, but your youth is something that once it passes, you cannot retrieve it no matter what you do. The same energy that you have right now in your youth, where you can do so much, when you get old, you can't really do that much. Ask those who are old, ask those who are elderly, ask them how it is. They would tell you that my back hurts, my knee hurts, my eyes, they pain because it feels like there's a strain on it. They feel all of this, and it's a reality. And by them telling you this, there is a subliminal message in there, and that is to value your youth. You know, in today's time, we see that many, many youngsters out there, many, not all, illa mashallah, but many youngsters out there on a global scale, they are wasting the youth, that precious time. How? By scrolling through social media, taking a phone or taking the iPad and just scrolling through reels and through videos and, you know, on all social media platforms. Now you tell me, how was that even beneficial? What productivity came out from that? Not much, really. Nothing. A person just sat there, maybe 1 hour, 2 hours, sometimes even goes 3 hours, where a person is just sitting on the couch, sitting on the bed, and they are just scrolling away. And if you have watched, if you haven't, then you should go and watch it. On our silsila, the Reflections for a Better Life, we have discussed the digital world. And we have mentioned about the pros and cons of social media. And we have also mentioned about the average person looking at his phone 142 times in a day. And this is a global stat, a statistic. So you can imagine our youth of today are in this era. We are in this era. And we have to see. We have to see our children. We have to question ourselves. For those who are young, how are you spending your youth? Because on the day of Qiyamah, one of the questions is going to be, in what activities did you spend your youth? It's a golden time, dear viewers of Madani Channel, especially those who are young and are watching this, those students of deen that are watching this, those students that are in the campus, those that are in the schools, those that are in the madrasa, value the youth. Your youth that you have, the time that you have, it won't come back. And we know that time is just flying by. The week goes by so fast. The time goes by so fast. The month goes by so fast. Even the years are going by so fast. So that should make us think, what are we doing with the time that we have? This youth, it is a blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you and I. This phase, it is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you and I to adopt piety in it, for you and I to do more and more good deeds, because Allah ta'ala has granted you that energy for what? Not to use it in wrong activities, not to use it to go to the casino, not to use it in futile activities, not to use it to gamble, to buy alcohol, which is haram. All of these are haram. No, not to use it for these kind of activities. It is given to you and I so that you and I can do more and more good deeds. You and I can recite the Quran. We have the strength. We have that energy to recite the Holy Quran during the day, during the night. We have the strength to wake up for Salatul Tahajjud. Yes, we have that strength. But many of us, we have to ask ourselves, are we really doing that? Are we really utilizing the energy that we have in this light, in this positive light? And the answer that some would say, illa mashallah, is that I don't. I am too busy. I got this game to go for. I got that game to go for. I am busy with my online games and etc. etc. And a person, you know, becomes so drowned in it that they forget the priorities in life. You know, when you are young, and when you are flourishing through this age, it's the perfect time for you to take up responsibilities and to own up to your mistakes, to admit it, to accept it. Because what is that going to do? It's not only about, you know, getting embarrassed or feeling or getting humiliated. No, it's not about that. That may be according to other people, but this is self-growth. This is improvement. This is learning from your mistakes at a young age. When you make those mistakes, it's good that you make those mistakes. Because when you're old, when you get married, you can't afford to make those mistakes. Whilst you are young and you make mistakes, perhaps you want to, you tried opening up something. You know, you tried to open up a small-time business. And it's new to you. You have learned one or two about it. It's new. But along the way, whilst you are young, 16, 17, you made a couple of mistakes along the way. Maybe you suffered a loss. You didn't make much profit. But that mistake, it is good. It's not something to be sad of. It's actually very good, because later on in life, what is that going to do? It's going to help you to realize not to make the same mistake again. And you wouldn't, because you know, hey, when I was young and one time I did this, it didn't turn out too well. Now that I'm married, now that I have a family, I can't really do that anymore. I can't afford to make such a silly mistake. I can't afford to do it. Because now you know you got responsibilities. Now you know that you have a family to maintain. You have children to take care of. You have parents to see to. You have a wife to see to. And because of the mistakes that you've made in your youth, which can be turned into a positive light, it can be turned into a positive way by you not repeating the same mistakes again. So whilst you are young, whilst you are in your teen years, whilst you are in your youth, don't be afraid of admitting your mistake, accepting your mistake. Others perhaps may scold you for it. Others perhaps may shout you for it. But don't take that in a bad light, in a negative way. Rather, take that in a positive way, because this will improve you. So this is very, very important, you know, because at times we see that youngsters, youth out there, they get shattered very, very quickly. You know, one statement made to them that, oh, why you did this? Why you did that? You should not have done this. You should not have done that. You know, we see this going on. And the poor child, shame, he didn't know or she didn't know. You know, they are new to it. They are just growing up in life. And they are getting all these taunts, all of these scoldings and shouting. They are going to be shattered. They're going to be heartbroken. And perhaps that will, you know, lose their self-confidence. It will make them lose that self-confidence that they had. So what approach should elders take? They should take this approach rather than scolding, rather than shouting. They should use that opportunity, because that is the ideal and perfect opportunity to educate them, to nurture them, to upbring them, to improve their situation. Because at that time, first of all, they are emotional at the time. And when you advise them and correct them in a loving way about the mistake they have done, then automatically, guess what will happen? They will take to what you are saying. And in future, they would come to you, because you know you are so approachable. You are very approachable. And they won't mind sharing the issues, difficulties, and problems that they are going through in life. They will wholeheartedly come to you only because of one effort and one gesture that you made. And that was educating. That was informing. That was telling something to them to correct their mistakes in a loving way. And that's the impact of it, that it had a long-lasting impact compared to shouting, where you broke the glass. You shattered the glass, scolding, you broke the glass. And that glass, although you can put it up together, you can put glue, you can put tape, you can put whatever you want, but have you noticed the cracks in the glass? That doesn't go away. It still remains. It's still there. That means if when a teen or when a child, when a youngster makes a mistake and you shout and scold, the scars may be there. The scars will still be there. They will remember it. Even after you tell them something nice, but they will still recall that, hey, this person, he shouted me, he scolded me. So it's important that we know how to approach. We know the manner of approaching. So there are two ways. either you take the scolding way or you take the other way, which is empowerment, which is educational, which is informative, and that will guide them later on in life not to make that same mistake again. And through this, they would be learning from their mistakes. Now, when it comes to piety in youth, we see that this is something very difficult, somewhat difficult for them to actually adopt. You know why? Because of societal issues, because of maybe peer pressure or the company that they keep in schools, whereas they feel that, you know, I don't want to be formal. The fear of missing out. I don't want to be that. I don't want to be in that category. I want to be in the category where the trend is there and I am on that trend. I am on the latest trend. Whatever is happening latest, I am there. They want to be on that line. They don't want to feel left out. And this is something very, very dangerous, because they don't realize at the time what kind of company they are keeping. And once they are in that company, they wouldn't even realize at that time that this company is bad. Because to them, it may be good company. They may be doing bad, but it's disguised on a pretext, on a context that it's something that is good. So to them, it's something that is normal. So it's important we choose our company correctly. If the company is bad and the person is good, he will eventually, sooner or later, he is going to go down a very dark alley. He's going to go down a dark road. And to get him out of that is going to be difficult. It's going to require a lot of time, a lot of patience to take him out from that. On the other hand, a person, a youngster who has good company, you would see how he flourishes so far in life. How far he goes in life, his success rate will be much more higher than the other youngster who has bad company. This can go in the schools, in the campuses, in the colleges. It can go everywhere, in the institutes. It can go all over for you and I to make sure that the company we choose, it is good company. Because when a person has this good company, then automatically piety will fall in. Yes, that person, that same youngster, he would want to become pious. Why? Because he's seeing his friends, they are attending the Ijtimaat of Dawat-e-Islami, mashallah, they are attending Qafila of Dawat-e-Islami, and him seeing all of this, he would want to go. Why? Because his friend is going. He wouldn't want to leave out his friend, especially at that young age when all that matters is the friend. So he wouldn't want to leave him out, and he will join. And like that, so many other examples that can be given. So good company is very, very important. The most effective part of it is that piety comes into place. And this is exactly what we are talking about today. Piety in youth, in that blooming age, that young age where the blood is boiling, where the youngster, his emotions are all over the place. He doesn't even know where he stands. Sometimes left, right, up front, it's all over. His emotions are everywhere. And he needs direction. At that age, a person, a youngster, he gets angry very quickly. He has jealousy. He has a sense of pride in him that, oh, look at me. I am better than others. I got this. My father got me this. What you have? You got nothing. This is the age where they carry out themselves like this, because they want to show that I am better than the next. And to control that, to contain that, it requires effort from the parents. It requires effort from that youngster himself, that he has to make sure he's choosing the right company. How is he going to know this? He is going to know this by his parents informing him of what kind of company should a person keep. How to judge whether a person is good company or bad company. When he recognizes this, then, subhanAllah, his life, his environment, the atmosphere that he would be in would be a good, positive environment. So all of these emotions, jealousy, greed, and envy, pride, and arrogance, and ignorance, all of this has to be contained, because that is the stage where nafs and shaitan, they override a person at that very critical point in their life. That is why it said that good deeds performed in the young days are more bitter than those performed in old age. Why? Because in your young days, you have temptations, you have traps, you have so much of obstacles, you have so much of traps of shaitan, the whispers of shaitan, and you're still doing good. That is the battle that you are fighting. You are fighting your inner self, you are fighting your nafs that, no, this is wrong. I can't do this. I need to refrain from that. I need to do more good. And when this happens, then we see that the deeds, good deeds performed at a young age becomes more better and superior than those ones performed at an old age. Because in old age, a person doing good deeds, he already know, my one leg is already in the grave. It's only the next one to go. So the old person will now want to do more and more good deeds because he knows that I am nearing my death. Of course, we don't know when we are going to die. But the person who is old, of course, he is nearing his death. So that is why he will do more and more good deeds. So the person, that youngster who does good deeds in their young days is more superior to the person, to the elderly person who does good deeds in his old age. You know, there was an elderly person and he was passing through some area. He was so old, extremely old, and he was so bent, like hunched, that it looked as if he was looking for something over the ground. And one young man, he notices him. He sees what he's doing. So he told him that, oh, old man, what are you searching for? What are you looking for? And he said this, you know, in such a way that it sounded as if it was infuriating. And that old man, he didn't retaliate back like how he said, in the tone that this young man said. He had patience, he observed patience, and he remained calm and collected. And eventually, he told him that, son, I am actually looking for my youth. That's what I'm looking for. This young man, he got so shocked, he got surprised, and he said that, uncle, I cannot comprehend what you mean. I can't get what you're trying to say. I mean, is youth a thing that can be looked for? Has anyone losing it once ever been able to regain it? And that elderly man, that old man, he responded and he said that this is what I regret now. When I was young, I could not avail myself of it. And today, I have realized its significance, but I no longer have it. And he says that he had so much of regret and remorse that he went on to say that I have lost my wealth of youth. Yes, your youth, that is your wealth. And he continues to say that now there is no use of crying over spilled milk. I couldn't benefit from my youth. I could neither perform good deeds nor make any preparation for my hereafter, for my qabr, but rather spent my youth sleeping deeply over the bed of heedlessness. And he says that I am now in a state with deteriorating health, with my health weakening, my body weakening. I have the passion and enthusiasm to do ibadah, to worship, but I have lost the courage due to being old. And then this aged and this elderly man, he said, he's telling this young man, this young boy, that son, through the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are still young. You are young. Take advantage of your youth. Exert yourself to perform worship. Perform worship. Bow in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before you get bent. Otherwise, the old man is saying, otherwise, just like me, you would also be searching for your youth. After, you know, you have been old and bent. But at that time, you will have nothing except for shamefulness. You will be empty-handed to have lost your childhood in playing, your youth in sleeping, and you will be crying in your old age. Now this elderly man's his polite way of counseling and advising this young man, it actually had an impact on him. It had such an impact that this young man, he made a promise that he would make the best use of his youth. How? By spending it in piety. Allahu Akbar. So from this, series of Madinin Channel, we see how important it is to value your youth. That from this parable, we see this old man, this elderly man, what was he doing? He was looking on the ground. He was searching on the ground. Searching for what? Searching for his youth. Of course, he did that out of, you know, remorse. And as an example for you and I, as a lesson for you and I, that you can't really find your youth. You are looking in the ground. You're not going to find your youth there. No. He was actually telling you and I that you are young, you have that energy, you have that vibrancy in you. And what do you need to do with it? You need to value it and use it in the way that it's supposed to be used. Use it to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the human beings and the jinns for this purpose, that we worship Him. And this is something that the Quran teaches us. The Quran teaches us this, that we have been created to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is our purpose in this dunya. Now, you know, one may ask that, how, from what age to what age is a person considered young? From what age to what age is a person considered as old? So it's mentioned, you know, according to dictionaries, a person remains young from the age of puberty to 30 or 40 years old. And from 30 to 50 years old is the period of middle age. While old age, it starts after the age of 50 years old. So this is how you can know what age span that one is called a youngster, one is called in his middle age, and one is known as he is in his old age. Now we see that this beautiful power and this energy that you have in your youth, you can utilize it in so many different ways. You know, ibadah, worship, is not only in performing salah. It's not only in performing salah. Yes, salah is fard for us and we have to perform our salah. But whilst you are young, you can do other forms of ibadah as well. You can do other forms of worship as well. For example, you can recite the Holy Quran, that is doing a good deed, reciting the Holy Quran. And whilst you have this energy, this is something that you can recite not even one page, you can even do maybe one quarter of a para. You can even do half a para. Because in old age, you don't really have that energy. You don't really have, you know, that health to do that. Because in old age, even if you go on reciting 3 pages, for example, your throat already gets dry and your pace of reading, it becomes even more slower compared to a young person. He can read fluently, he can recite fluently, even at a moderate pace. Even if he is reciting the Holy Quran at a quick pace, he can still recite it and his words will still be clear compared to one who is in his old age. Whilst you are young, you can go about giving sadaqah, you can go about giving charity. Whilst you are young, you can take on a responsibility. Have you not seen the Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan? Many ashab, many companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were young. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them responsibilities. And subhanAllah, when we read their biographies, when we read their seerah, their life stories, we see how much they have excelled in that, because it was at a young age and they grew up with that. And this is what we need to do today as well. Not when your son or when your daughter comes home and then you give them the phone and then they carry on with life. Or straight after the homework is done, you give them the phone and then they carry on with life. No. Give them a responsibility even at home. Give them the responsibility of, okay, today is your turn, you are going to wash the dishes. Today is your turn, you are going to hang the clothes. Today, you are going to neaten up the lounge area. You are going to do the bed, you are going to do that. This is actually empowering them to become responsible adults later on in life. You know, many or some parents out there, they feel sorry for their child, they feel pity for their child. That, you know what, it's okay, he's still young, shame. He's still young, or she's still young. They got a long way to go. they focusing right now on their school, on their homework, etc. And they neglect giving them responsibilities. I know of a child that is of around, say, 9 years of age. His parents, they gave him and they give him responsibilities that come and lay the table, set the plates. After everything is done, pick up your own plate and put it into the sink. Wash your own plate after that. Place your plate into the rack. All of this. This child is learning from a young age. What is that doing? That is inculcating in this child the sense of responsibility. On a Sunday, the same child, Sunday, maybe once a month or twice a month, the father would be washing his car. And the child would see the father doing that. The same child will come and he will be assisting his father, the washing materials to wash the car, the hose pipe, the buckets of water, the sponge, the polish, etc., the leather key. He would be bringing it and I saw him. He would be, you know, washing the tires, making sure the car is nice and shining. All of these are practical examples. And by them doing this, they are gaining a responsibility from a tender young age. When they grow up, they wouldn't find difficulty in doing this. When they grow up, they would already be accustomed that, oh, okay, this is a responsibility. I need to carry it out. Any mistake happen, I need to own up to it. I need to admit to my mistakes. And likewise, when giving them these practical responsibilities, these household responsibilities, at the same time make them also accustomed to reciting the Holy Quran. Stipulate a certain time that from this time to this time, all of us, not only the children, but all of us, we are all going to sit down and we are going to recite the Holy Quran. You know how much of barakah that will bring? Together with reciting the Holy Quran, you are gaining reward and it's bonding time. It's bringing the relationship between the parents and the children more and more closer in such a beautiful way. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever imagined that? That your children, they are sitting there, they are reading the Holy Quran in the sweet voice, and you are there as well, also reciting the Holy Quran. All of you are there, maybe 15 minutes or 20 minutes, all of you are reciting the Holy Quran. And after that, a dua is made. What a beautiful atmosphere that would be. And even those children who are in their teens, it will help them to suppress their nafs, to suppress their carnal desires. And due to the barakah of performing salah, and due to the barakah of reciting the Holy Quran, you know, it's even mentioned that the person, that youngster, who in his youth is habitual of reciting the Holy Quran, he will be protected from such troubles and tribulations when he reaches old age. Due to what? Due to the barakah of reciting the Holy Quran. Like Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi rahimahullah, he said that the young man who is habitual of reciting the Holy Quran will not be affected by this condition. What condition? Meaning, he will not forget the knowledge and the ilm in old age that he had gained in young age. All of this due to reciting the Holy Quran. And this brings about, you know, worship, ibadah in young age. It brings about peace in old age. Imagine if you have to implement this. Never mind, you may get some teens that, oh, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I'm still young. I got a very, very long way in life. No, mommy, daddy, I have to do this for my school and I need to do that. And they end up having so many things to do that you wonder where all of those things came from. Wherein we really need to read in between the lines. Even if they are teens, even if they are 13, 14 years old, that is the most important time where we need to draw them towards a very beautiful atmosphere at home. And like I've mentioned, one is all of the family members, the children, the parents are all seated reciting the Holy Quran. The next can be telling a story from Quranic Oneness, mashallah, a very beautiful book from Dawat-e-Islam. And this you can purchase online as well, dawatislami.net. in here there are Quranic stories, stories of the previous nations, stories of the previous Anbiya alayhi wassalatu wassalam, stories regarding the blessed life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and so much more that they can learn when you are telling them these stories, because this is empowering them. You know, we all want our teens, our youngsters to be in a good environment, that oh, when they go to school, they must have good company. It doesn't just start off like that. It doesn't just happen like that, just by you wishing for it. No, you as a parent have to play a role in that by educating them, by telling them these stories, because indirectly you are doing this, and directly it's going to make them feel that, you know what, I heard the story from Quranic wonders. We recite salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We recite the Holy Quran. We all perform our salah together. When they go out and they see other children acting contrary to this, then they would know that what they are doing is wrong. And this is the type of company that I need to keep when they see other teens doing the same which they do. So youth, dear viewers of Madani Channel, is something that is of very, very utmost importance. You know, they say that the youth of today are the future leaders of tomorrow. If our youth of today do not have piety in them, what can we expect of the future? What do we expect? You know, our parents, our grandparents, they had very strong grounding. And when we recall back, we see that our parents and grandparents, they would gather all of us on a Thursday, gather all of us, every one of us are there in the lounge area, and we are making dhikr, we're reciting the Holy Quran, we making dua, we're reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our parents and grandparents will tell us that, no, eat with your right hand, don't eat from all over the place, eat from what is in front of you, cover your head whilst you are eating. All of this they would tell us. Why? Because it has value. It has a lot of value. And it makes you and I more civilized. It makes you and I a better human being. It makes you and I a better Muslim. But today, if today's youth and youngsters and teens, if they don't know about this, what are they going to be teaching to their children? What are they going to be passing down to the next generation? This is something that you and I really, really have to think about. Because if you look at it, the way it is now, it's kind of scary. Where the youth are headed, it's kind of scary. Normally we see in the corner of the street, oh, this guy is there. And just before Jummah khutbah can start, then straight away he comes in the masjid. This is the real life situation that is current, not even of the past, it's current. We see youngsters chilling, hanging around in the hubs, clubs and pubs, doing what, I don't know. And then just before the khutbah can start, they're all in the masjid. That too, in the last saf. So we have to really think, where are we, what direction are we giving to our teens, to our youngsters, because they are precious. They are actually our hope. And we have to channel the energy that they have in a very positive way, in a way that can make an impact on the society, on the community, to make it a much more beautiful and a better place. So, dear viewers of Madani Channel, all of these narrations that we have mentioned, it's very, very important that we pass this message to our own children, to our nephews, to our nieces, because in one narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that value five things before five other things. And he says that value your youth before old age, value your health before illness, value your wealth before destitution, and value your leisure time before being busy, and value your life before death. What a beautiful advice, what a beautiful nasiha from the greatest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is giving you and I a direction so that we know the importance of our youth, we know the importance of our health, we know the importance of our wealth, we know the importance of our free time, and we know the importance of life. And if we look at all of this, we see that some people, or we can say many people, illa mashallah, they don't value these. They don't value it. Youth, the age of youth is taken for granted. Health is taken for granted. Wealth is taken for granted when people just put their money anywhere, not knowing whether it's haram or not. Leisure time is taken for granted in that free time. Even if you took out a book, a risala from Dawat-e-Islami, and you read that book, even if you recited one page of the Holy Quran, even if you spent your free time being of benefit to someone, or reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that would be so beneficial to you. And life. Life, yes. I mean, I have come across some people where they've said that I'm tired of life. I don't want to be in this life anymore. I've heard of people saying this. But our Islam is so beautiful that it teaches us to value life, because this is a great bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you and I. Allah ta'ala granted us this life. Allah ta'ala granted us this youth. Allah ta'ala granted us this health, this wealth, the free time that we have, all for us to do those deeds which earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for us to be more close, to earn the qurb, the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we look at the young days of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stood up for justice, he helped the oppressed. There was a treaty called Hilful Fudul, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so happy with this that he said that even if a person has to call me for help, I would go and help that person. These were the young days of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a businessman as well. He journeyed to Syria, taking the goods of Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. And on one occasion, he went with his uncle Abu Talib as well. Look at the youth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then see that if I am young, for those who are young out there, take a self-introspection and see, is my way of living whilst I am young according to how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived whilst he was young? And if not, then we need to make some changes. It's better you make changes now than whilst you get old, because when you get old, it's already too late. You can't cry over spilled milk. So it's better you make changes now for the betterment of your future. Speaking about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it reminds me that mashallah, we do have a very beautiful Quran, praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us go and listen to this melodious Quran to rejuvenate our heart, mind, body and soul in the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter, we will be back to discuss much further into this beautiful topic. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Mustafa, 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 ya Rasulullah, ya Rasulullah, mere lafzon mein shams o duha hai, mere lehje mein badr o duja, mashale midhate Mustafa ho, mashale midhate Mustafa ho, har andhere ko main jagmaga do, aisi ek naat likhne ki ya rab mujhko taufeeq de, zindagi ایسی ایک نعت لکھنے کی یا رب مجھ کو توفیق دے زندگی میں ان کی زلفوں کی خوش خوشبو سونگھاؤں، ان کی زلفوں کی خوشبو سونگھاؤں، ان کے قدموں کی آہٹ بتا دوں، میرے لفظوں میں شمس و دوحا ہے، میرے لہجے میں بدر و دجا، مشعلِ مدحت مصطفیٰ، مشعلِ مدحت مصطفیٰ، جگمگا دوں، وہ میری شاعری میرا فن ہے، میں سخن ہوں وہ جان سخن ہے، وہ میری شاعری میرا فن ہے، میں سخن ہوں وہ جان سخن ہے، اپنا سب کچھ انہی کا دیا ہے، اپنا سب کچھ انہی کا دیا ہے، اپنا سب کچھ انہی پر لوٹا دوں، میرے لفظوں میں شمس و ضحا ہے، میرے لہجے میں بدر و دجا، مشعلے مشعلِ مدحت مصطفیٰ، ہر اندھیرے کو میں جگمگا دوں، قافلے جا رہے ہیں مدینے، اور حسرت سے میں تک رہا ہوں، قافلے جا رہے ہیں مدینے، اور حسرت سے میں تک رہا ہوں، یا لپٹ جاؤں قدموں سے ان کے، یا لپٹ جاؤں قدموں سے ان کے، یا قضا کو پھر اپنی صدا دوں، میرے لفظوں میں شمس و دوحا ہے، میرے لہجے میں بدر و دجا، مشعلِ مدحت مصطفیٰ، مشعلِ مدحت مصطفیٰ، ہر اندھیرے کو میں جگمگا دوں، میری بخشش کا ساما یہی ہے، میرے دل کا بھی ارماں یہی ہے، میری بخشش کا ساما یہی ہے، میرے دل کا بھی ارماں یہی ہے، ایک دن ان کے روزے پہ جا کر، ایک دن ان کے روزے پہ جا کر، ان کی نعتیں انہیں کو سنا دوں، میرے لفظوں میں شمس و دوحا ہے، میرے لہجے میں بدر و دجا، مشعلِ مدحت مصطفیٰ، مشعلِ مدحت مصطفیٰ، ہر اندھیرے کو میں جگمگا دوں، ہے تمنا کے ڈھل جاؤں یا رب، پہ کرے اسوہ مصطفیٰ میں، ہے تمنا کے ڈھل جاؤں یا رب، پہ کرے اسوہ مصطفیٰ میں، مسکراؤں اگر سنگ برسے، مسکراؤں اگر سنگ برسے، ہر برے کو بھلی سے دعا دوں، میرے لفظوں میں شمس و دوحا ہے، میرے لہجے میں بدر و دجا، مشعلِ مدحت مصطفیٰ، مشعل مدحة مصطفى ہر اندھیرے کو میں جگمگا دوں کاش آئے جب ان کی سواری ہدی ان کے قدموں کے نیچے کاش آئے جب ان کی سواری ہدی ان کے قدموں کے نیچے کھینچ کر روح کو تن سے باہر کھینچ کر روح کو تن سے باہر اس کی چادر بنا کر بچھا دوں میرے لفظوں میں شمس و ضحا ہے میرے لہجے میں بدر و دجا مشعل مدح سے مصطفیٰ مشعل مدح سے مصطفیٰ ہر اندھیرے کو میں جگمگا دوں
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سبحان اللہ what a rejuvenating enlightening kalam in the praises of Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم I'm sure you have enjoyed this kalam and I'm pretty sure as well that this has increased the love for Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم in our hearts may Allah تعالی increase our love for Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم and grant us all the ability to implement the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our lives. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Alhamdulillah, coming back to our topic of discussion in which we are discussing piety in youth. And mashallah, we have covered various angles and perspectives in relation to this, wherein we've mentioned that a youngster, a teen, those who have children should give their children, should give their teenagers as well responsibilities from a young age so that they grow up being a responsible human being and a responsible Muslim as well. And together with that, we have also mentioned how to inculcate family bonding. And you know, I've mentioned that you can have a family gathering with your children and stipulate a certain time wherein everyone recites the Holy Quran or sends salat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter, we've also mentioned how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised you and I on how to value five things before the five things. And one was value your youth before your old age, value your health before your illness, value wealth before it becomes less. And likewise, we've heard so many beautiful vices and nasiha as we journeyed along through this topic. And now, a very beautiful statement that a Sahabi, a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made. And he is Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says that it's mentioned that when Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was close to his death, so he said, make me sit. And after he was made to sit, he started making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reciting tasbih. And he then said to himself, crying, tears in his eyes, you know, showing humility. He said to himself that, oh Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you have thought of making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in old age after you have been weak. What did you do when the garden of youth was fresh? Allahu Akbar. Now, despite, you know, being eager to perform good deeds, our pious predecessors, rahimahumullahu ta'ala, were very, very humble. Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was a great companion and he had spent his entire life performing virtuous deeds. Even then, what did he wish for? He wished that he had performed more and more worship. Now, this act of humility on his part is actually a very beautiful a piece of advice for you and I. You know, Sayyidina Allama Ibn Rajab Hanbali rahimahullah, he stated and he said that one who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his youth will be helped by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his old age. And weakness, besides being blessed with good hearing, vision, strength, and intellect. And Sayyidina Abu Tayyib Tabari, rahimahullah, despite reaching the age of 100 years old, despite reaching this age, he was still mentally, physically fit and healthy as well. So somebody asked him the secret of his health. And what did he say? He said that I protected my physical abilities from sins in my youth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has retained them for me in my old age. And on the contrary, Sayyidina Junaid rahimahullah, he saw an old begging man. He saw an old begging man. And he said that this person wasted the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his youth. So Allah ta'ala wasted his strength in old age. Allahu Akbar. This, it tells us, dear viewers of Madani Channel, that work hard in your youth and reap the rewards in your old age. Yes. You know, if an Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Na'imi rahimahullah, he said that if an old man who had been performing worship in his youth is unable to perform more worship due to old age, Allah Ta'ala declares him to be exempted and records in his book of deeds the very same acts of worship he used to do in his youth. So, dear viewers of Madani Channel, we have reached the end of today's episode. And from this we gathered that value your youth, perform more and more good, and take up responsibilities from a young age, and this will make you prosper in life. Until then, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Each stage of life, a chance to grow. With faith and love, the blessings flow. Seasons of life, seasons of life.